and welcome to Dak and Rick's Pod. I'm Dak.
And I'm Rick.
And this is a Follow Some podcast where we talk about all things sports. And today, we are back with another episode. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Alrighty. Well, that's great to hear. As today, we're filming this a little bit early on in the week, so sadly, no update on the Heat Summer League this week, as we will be out of town during your regular filming, recording time of usually Sunday, Monday, Saturday. So we are going to be doing this on Tuesday, or Wednesday, actually, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're going to try to revamp the show, freshen it up with some new segments. Like this week, we are going to be having pretty much a Tua-based episode. It's been a while since we've talked Dolphins, so I think you're excited for that. But first, let me talk about our new segment called Quick Fire with Rick, as I'm going to just throw some questions, comments, concerns to my dad about anything from sports to life to anything and see how he answers it. It'll be very quick, sporadic answers. Like, let's get started right now. You ready?
Let's go.
Alrighty. So the Miami Marlins have had three All-Stars named to the National League All-Star roster, that being Jazz Chisholm, Sandy Alcantara, and Garrett Cooper. Garrett Cooper. What do you think about the Marlins having three All-Stars this year?
Sounds exciting. I'm very happy. You know, I don't watch the Marlins on a regular basis. I did way back when they first started, when they, you know, hit the, you know, when they had, I forgot the name of the elderly manager. He was fantastic. I'll get it before the end of the segment. But anyways, the bottom line is they seem to be going the right direction now. So let's hope for the best.
All right. Well, at the end of the day, the Marlins may have some individual success, but at the end of the day, until the team doesn't come together and, you know, really start bonding and meshing, because yeah, individuals are great, but if we don't all come together, we can't go for that ultimate goal of winning the World Series.
That's why it's called the team effort. It has to be a team.
All right, well, the next thing up is the Miami Heat, and sadly, we won't be able to talk about the Heat in terms of Summer League, but let's talk about those trade rumors, as just in 2 days ago, the Utah Jazz will begin to take calls on star Donovan Mitchell. What do you think about that? Mitchell or Durant?
Wow. You put me on the spot there. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there.
Well, let's say for Kevin Durant, you have to give up a significant amount more. You have to give up your entire team. For Donovan Mitchell, you're just giving up a guy like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Jovic, and some picks. Where for Durant, you'd probably have to clean house entirely outside of like Victor Oladipo, Caleb Martin, and the guys who can't be traded, Deadman. What do you have to say?
I wouldn't like to see the Heat give up everything for Durant. I think KD is great. I think he'd be a great asset, but at what cost? That's the bottom line, and I don't know that we should be giving up, you know, all our players for just him. I mean, you know, the one of the things that Spoelstra and Riley have done, the you know, throughout their career, throughout at least Spoelstra's career, is really build around players. You know, we have great players now. We have solid players now. And I think we should keep building on them. If we can add, and listen, I don't know what Andy Ellisberg is going to do. I have no idea how to get it done. But if we can bring in KD and add him to the roster, yeah, we might have to give something up, but not a lot up. Then it's something that's worth pursuing. Other than that, I'm not too sure.
All right. Very interesting take. And now one of our last couple questions here for the quick fire with Rick. Something I wanted to ask you, we didn't really cover it when it was happening, so this is just going to be like a very, very short segment because this is already now 2 weeks ago, but Wimbledon just happened for us in current times. So what do you think about Djokovic winning, I think it's his fourth straight Wimbledon? I don't know that for sure. What do you think? Just dominance from him.
He was just fantastic. I mean, he was losing and he came back strong, and like his opponent said, he's like God on the tennis court. You know, so, you know, he did a really great job, really come back, well-deserved. He's the constant, you know.
Is he the best tennis player right now out there?
Absolutely he is.
Very, very interesting take. Not really a hot one because, to be honest, he's just been dominating the circuit this, I don't know, for like the past 2 years. He's just been that guy. He's been, as the kids will say, him. And, you know, there's nothing else we can say about him other than just dominance in the sport as some of these older guys have tried catching up to him. Some of these young bucks are coming in and starting to creep at him. But like you said, no one's been able to dethrone the, I guess, supposed king for right now of tennis. And lastly, let's come now and talk about Formula One, now one of our new favorite sports, as we've hit the midway point in the season, 11 races out of 22. Now, I won't make you get too specific on any drivers or anything, since I know you're still learning about the sport, but I think you know a good amount about the teams. You know that there's Red Bull, Mercedes, and Ferrari really fighting for that top three. Right now, Red Bull's in the lead with a comfortable, I'd say, about, this is all off the top of my head, anywhere from 70 to 100 points, might be 50 points lead on Ferrari, and then there's still a significant gap between Mercedes and Red Bull. But at the end of the day, Mercedes had the more reliable car. Red Bull's had the speed. Ferrari, who knows what they do, because, man, they've really just shot themselves in the leg this championship season. But out of those three, who are more than likely going to take home the Constructors' Championship, who's winning it and why?
Ooh, again, putting me on the spot, huh? Who's winning it and why?
Either Mercedes, Ferrari, or Red Bull. Remember, Red Bull has more of that speed. They have the world champion currently. Mercedes has that reliability. They have the consistency with George Russell and Lewis Hamilton. And, of course, you have Ferrari, which, you know, has been just shooting themselves in the leg. It seems like they're almost there, but then they just shoot themselves in the leg.
Well, listen, they're the fastest car. I think they're the fastest car. I think everyone knows that. The bottom line is they're not consistent, so that's been a problem. They're not reliable, so that's been a problem.
You're talking about Ferrari, right?
Yes, absolutely, Ferrari. So, you know, Red Bull's been doing really well.
They currently hold the lead in the Drivers' and Constructors' Championship.
Right. And Mercedes, you know, has Hamilton and Russell, and they're excellent drivers. And they're also solid vehicles. You know, they're solid cars, and I don't think they have any problems with consistency. So I think it's going to be between Red Bull and Mercedes.
Okay. Very interesting hot take. And that is your quick fire stuff with Rick. Oh, he wanted to pull something out. What did you want to pull out?
Well, I want to talk about the Marlins. Going back to the Marlins, it was Jack McKeon, their manager at the time.
There you go.
And he was fantastic. So we're hoping that now with these superstars,
All-stars. I don't know about superstars. I don't watch
all-stars
enough baseball to call them that.
But I hope that now, you know, we're heading the right direction, just like it did with Jack McKeon.
All righty. Well, that was Quick Fire with Rick. If you guys have any questions you want to ask Rick for yourselves, and, well, I'll ask you for him, you can email them at dakandrickspod@gmail.com. And that should be available somewhere. And now let's head to our first break. And we're back to talk about Tua Tagovailoa. I don't even know if I said his last name right now, thinking about it. I don't know. It's been a while since we've said his name. But Tua, since we last left, he got a new offensive tackle in Teron Armstead. He's got a new wide receiver in Tyreek Hill. And he's, I guess, had another year to develop. He now has Mike McDaniels at the helm. What do you think that all means for Tua before we talk about specifically all the smack talk that Tyreek Hill's talking?
Well, you know, the bottom line is this is his year. He's got to produce this time around, and let's see what comes out of it. But listen, they're forming a team around him. He's the marquee quarterback. You know, they've put a lot of faith in him. You know, you hear the new wide receiver who's what, the
Tyreek
best
Hill.
Wide receiver?
Who knows?
Is he considered one of the best?
He's paid as the best, so.
Right. So,
damn.
So he's absolutely considered one of the best, and he's talking all the talk. He's supporting his quarterback. He's giving him a lot of confidence. He's saying, you know, listen, he's saying everything he's saying between him and McCall. You know, I don't know what to tell you, but the bottom line is I think that the wide receiver is doing a solid. I think he's doing the right thing and talking the smack that he's talking, because the bottom line is he's got to support his quarterback.
All right. Now, before we talk about all the positives with Tyreek Hill, we have to, one, acknowledge his podcast. This is all coming from his podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, just everyone these days now has a podcast. But no disrespect to Tyreek Hill. But back on the topic, he says that Tua might even be better than Patrick Mahomes. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I think he clarified that by saying his accuracy, you know, that he's the most accurate. I don't know if he's has a strong arm as Patrick, but he mentioned that he's accurate. And they started talking about, on his podcast, they started talking about, well, you know, who has a stronger arm? Well, all of a sudden he's saying, I don't need to go only for the long.
For the long balls that he usually goes for.
Right, exactly.
Deep passes.
I can now go for everything else. So the short, medium, intermediate.
Yeah, like Jalen Waddle, they abused of that short little pass, and then Jalen Waddle with his speed The Dolphins probably have the speediest lineup in the league with Raheem Mostert at running back, Jalen Waddle at wide receiver, and Tyreek Hill at the other side. What do you think about the duo of the Penguin and the Cheetah? The Penguin being Jalen Waddle, because, you know, he waddles around the field, and the Cheetah, of course, Tyreek Hill, number 10. What do you think about that dynamic duo? Since we haven't been able to talk about it.
I think it's going to be fantastic to watch both of these athletes on the field. And if Tua gets his act together, and I think he will get his act together this year, I mean, he has two excellent wide receivers, and he's got produced.
He's got running backs. He's now got an offensive line kind of. He's got Teron Armstead. That guy's excited to be in Miami.
Right.
Number, I think he's going to be 72. He showed up wearing his Dan Marino jersey to the press conference.
I remember.
His introductory press conference. So he's excited to be a Miami guy, coming from New Orleans, coming from a guy like Drew Brees, who's such an impactful quarterback. Do you think it'll be a difficult struggle for him to adjust from Drew Brees to Tua?
I don't think so.
Well, from a guy like Drew Brees, last year he was with Jameis Winston, but right. You get the point.
Right. No, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be much of an adjustment. I think they're going to practice around the field or, you know, doing what they got to do. We're going to be going to some of the practices really soon.
Yes, we will. Training camp begins very, very soon, at least to the public, on July 30th. We are going to be talking all that week about Miami Dolphins leading up to it. And then, of course, that week's podcast, which would be on the 6th or 7th. Man, that's going to be an exciting week. Being able to see Tyreek Hill for the first time in person, well, in a Miami Dolphins uniform. Being able to see Jalen Waddle, Tua, this magical leap he's supposed to be on. Who knows? Maybe we'll get a Dolphins player to want to come on the podcast. What do you think about that?
That would be great. Yeah, we should go live. Let's go live, Dak. Let's go live.
I don't know if that's a capable thing, but, you know, it's always nice to dream.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll show up at the Dolphins and we'll talk to their vice president of communications, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, of course, communications is what gets you interviews, I guess. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But now, we promised viewers we would talk about Tua. And now, you have to always bring up, when you bring up Tua, you have to bring up Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. First overall pick, sixth overall pick, Tua being the fifth overall pick in that draft. A wild draft. Now, Joe Burrow has made it to a Super Bowl. He's an AFC champion. Justin Herbert hasn't really done much. He puts up nice stats, but hasn't done much team-wise. Tua hasn't put up great stats, but clearly is more of a winner than Justin Herbert. What do you have to say about this three-quarterback race? It seems like Joe Burrow's far and ahead in the lead.
Absolutely.
Justin Herbert won Offensive Player of the Year or Rookie of the Year. I can't remember. But he won some award, so would you put him in front of Tua?
I put both of them in front of Tua, yes.
Would you afford the team success for more individual success? Because Herbert has had the better individual success, but technically Tua's led better teams. And in their head-to-head matchups, Tua's won.
Well, listen, I think that they're both ahead of Tua individually. Obviously, one of them got to the Super Bowl. Burrow's got to the Super Bowl, so that makes a whole... That changes the whole dynamic of this conversation. And the bottom line is that this year, Tua has to produce this year. If not, there's a problem.
Yeah, there's no more room for him to run around. He's got Tyreek Hill. He's got Jalen Waddle. He's got a somewhat competent offensive line.
He's got a new coach.
Who is offensively minded. There's no running from this anymore. I think this is Tua's make it or break it year.
I agree. And that's a good one. Make it or break it. That's
what's your
great
prediction? Is it a make or is it a break?
Listen, I think it's going to be a make. I'm not overly confident with Tua. I wasn't overly confident with him when they first drafted him. But, you know, we got to give him a shot. Tyreek Hill is very confident with him. He says that he's been, you know,
working out with him, trying to get him in shape, trying to get him comfortable so they can have that chemistry.
Right, that chemistry.
Because
exactly.
Waddle and Tua's chemistry is unmatched, in my opinion. And, you know, just quickly now, taking us a little bit further out into the Tua conversation, talking about our division, you have a great quarterback like the Bills, Josh Allen. You have young up-and-coming quarterbacks in Zach Wilson of the Jets and Mac Jones of the Patriots. Where do you rank Tua in between those guys? You know, number one has to be Josh Allen. He's just proven team success, individual success. He's just outright number one. But in between those bottom three, where do you rank Tua? Two, three, or four?
I rank him right now at four with the possibility of you know.
Wow, that's a very, very low ranking.
Well, you know, again, I wasn't a great Tua supporter. I'm hoping that he comes through for the team.
I'd say he's at least top three because Zach Wilson, I don't even think should be in a conversation. But, you know, at the end of the day, Zach Wilson's now the man of the hour. I don't know if you've heard about the news. He supposedly, I don't know if this is supposed or if it's actually been confirmed, but his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend claims that he was sleeping with his mom's best friend.
Oh my God.
So he's the man of the hour. And, you know, so maybe that's why you bumped him up to three instead of four. But I don't know. Zach Wilson, man of the hour. Who knows? Maybe now this will completely change him and he'll be number one in the division.
Look, you know, going back to the Dolphins, going back to Tua, what can we say? You know, everyone that's listening and everyone that's a sports fan and everyone that's a Dolphins fan, you know, we want the best for the team. We want the best for Tua. We really want Tua to be number one. There's no question about that. The question is, can he? Does he have the, you know, he did it in Alabama. Can he do it here? You know, I haven't seen him do it here yet, but then he was injured. He was out. He was fresh. He was new.
And wait.
He's a rookie.
We can't forget about the whole debacle of do you trade for Deshaun Watson or not?
Right.
Because those first 8 games, they went 1-8. But after those rumors shut down, they went 8-1. Remember that. They're coming off an 8-1 season,
right,
in theory, and almost a playoff berth with a second-year quarterback, first-year wide receiver. Now you add in Tyreek Hill. Now you add in an elite offensive line. Now you kept the defense the same. Pretty much outside of Brian Flores, you've kept everything else the same on that defense. So you're, let's just imagine that first half of the season doesn't happen. You're 8-1. That's an amazing record. Now let's see. Do you think that momentum carries over?
I think it absolutely carries over, and that's what I'm saying, that I'm not overly confident, but I'm confident that he'll do the right job, that he has improved a lot, that he's matured a lot, that he's you know, really watched film, and that he's he's going to be on top of his game. He has to. If not, he's got to move on.
Well, let's certainly hope so, as at the end of the day, we're Dolphin fans through and through, as I'm looking straight to Dolphins banner hanging in the room. And with all that being said, I think we both said this is the make or break year for Tua. You said he'll make it. I don't think I gave my opinion. I think I'll wait a little bit closer to training camp to give my opinion on that and make you listen to another episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. But other than that, do you have anything else to say, or do I take us to the outro?
Take us to the outro. We may be live, though, during training camp. Who knows?
I don't think that exists, a live recording, but I don't know. We'll look into it. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Dak and Rick's Pod. Man, I forgot the outro. Don't forget to rate it 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to follow at Dak and Rick's Pod on Instagram. Be sure to follow at Dak25 underscore my own personal account. And of course, be sure to check out every Sunday, it seems, every Sunday, Monday, Saturday-ish. It seems like we're keeping it pretty consistent to Sundays. But, you know, around those days, you can expect a brand new episode of the best Father Son podcast in the world. I think we can claim that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yes.
The best Father Son podcast in the nation. And with all that being said, be sure to rate 5 stars. Listen, share with a friend. Come on. We need more listeners, as always. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll see you guys in the next one.